Shady here with PiratePods.com. I'm at Danny Coyle's in San Francisco, and frontman for Bay Area band Audrey Sessions is here. Ryan, thanks for being here. I hear the band got their name from an alien. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. There was a Sony commercial that came out about 7 years ago, and it featured a little blue alien that made a disc for a girl named Audrey, and he called it the Audrey Sessions. And I was playing solo concerts at the time, and I was on the phone with the coffee shop, and they said, "What name do you want to go under?" And that commercial was on, and I just said that name, and it stuck.
Just literally off of a commercial?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Where and when did the band get together?
Well, let's see. I was 20, and so I was doing this solo thing, playing by myself. And then Alicia was my girl, said, "I want to play an instrument, or I want to be a part of it." So at first I started teaching her a little bit of guitar, and then I was like, "You know what, I'm just going to buy you a bass, and then I'll teach you some bass." I got another friend of mine to play with us, but due to probably me and her always bickering at each other because we were around each other 24/7, he was like, "You know, I just decided, you know, I'm going to find another guitar player and another drummer." And then basically the only person, that was Mike, that I found for guitar, and he's been with us ever since. So I'd say it's 2008, 2002, something like that. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, that's good.
It's a really long, so many people that, like in the other positions, you know. But it's been me, Mike, and Alicia for the most part for a good 6 years.
6 years.
Yeah.
You've done some recording recently, and what can your fans expect from the new stuff?
I don't know if that's the right word for it, mature, but I guess it is, you know. we went back and we remixed the whole album, and then we recorded 4 new songs, and then there was a few songs on there that we weren't really happy with the approach of them. Like, we thought maybe there was too heavy of an approach. It just needed to be simplified. So I guess they're simplifying where it's needed, and the newer songs are just, you know, we've just grown as a band, you know, so they're just more mature. I guess that happens naturally. Or hopefully.
Where did you guys record the album?
We did the majority of the album was recorded, was tracked at Barefoot Studios in LA. Right there on Santa Monica and Vine. It's Eric Valentine's studio. He's not the one that actually produced it or anything. Our friend Matt Radosevich was in charge of producing those songs. And then when we recently were back down, we were at, I always forget this, it's not Sound City, it's right there off Sunset. No, Cahuenga and Selma, right where the beauty bar is. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sorry, it's in, I can't LA. Help
it's
you in not LA. Very
yeah,
familiar
it's,
with
it's,
LA.
It's not Sound City. It's Sunset Studios, I think, or something like that. But we did it with Andrew, this guy named Andrew Sheps, fantastic. And we literally had 3 days, and we went down there, we were only going to do 2 songs, and we had 1 day of pre-production, and he was like, "You know what, we have to do all 4 of these." So we had 3 days, and then we did all 4 of them, and then redid 2 songs, and then redid drums on another song in like these 3 days, and it was fantastic. So, Sunset Studios, but I'm not sure.
We'll go back and look it
God,
up for you.
I need to look it up, because it's a great place, and so I want to put that in.
Can you tell us a little bit about the band's writing process?
Yeah, it changes all the time. For the most part, earlier on, it was, you know, I'd write a song on an acoustic or something, and then I'd bring the songs in and kind of, you know, they wouldn't be completely done, you know, for the most part they'd have like the standard verses and choruses and lyrics and stuff, or I'd be working on lyrics. It's just like I'd just be making up a melody or something, you know. And then we just go from there, and you know, I'll work together in there. You know, it's like here I'm playing a D here, and they follow. But lately, which has been a blessing too, Mike has been bringing in some songs, and then we'll all work on them. Usually it's some kind of progression or something, and then he'll send me stuff now, like I have a computer now, so I have files right over, and I can just drop it into like GarageBand and sing over it and make up melodies and stuff. So it's constantly changing, it just depends. Usually if it's me that's bringing it, I'll write the chords and the melodies and the lyrics and everything. If it's Mike, he'll usually bring in the song and I'll write the melodies and vocals and stuff like that. So I think it's going to continue to change. Mostly now it's everybody's becoming a part of it.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what was it that first made you want to become a musician?
My dad was very into sports. I played sports all my life. Like, that's what I did. And even into high school, I was playing sports. And this kid named, I don't know if he'll ever listen to this, but and he will probably would be amazed that I remember his name, named David Lewis. Yeah, it's a good song, sorry, it's like getting taken away. He had a class, and he had his guitar with him. And he's sitting on the lawn, and he's like, "Will you watch your guitar, my guitar for me?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure, I'll watch it for you, but you have to show me something to play." And the song, it's Today, right? The Smash Pumpkins, that's mm-hmm. the title. And so he showed me that little riff I could play, but I sat there for like an hour or whatever, how long the class period was trying. And then I went over to him a week later, and he had a guitar, and I just sat there all day trying to get him to teach me stuff, and then he let me take it home, and then I think literally like within the next week, I asked my parents for a guitar. They gave me shit, said, you know, like, no way, you're gonna not want to do this in like a year, and you're gonna sell it, and we're gonna waste our money. So I remember I'm sick, and I took all the stuff that was mine in the garage, like bikes, anything sport-related, and went to play it against sports and sold it, and I got like $150, and one of the guys that was on the football team that had, his parents had bought him a guitar, he didn't want it, was selling it, so I bought it, I just rode my bike down to his house, which I didn't sell, but, and I played through a karaoke machine for like a year and a half. And all I had was volume and echo. And I remember I just like, because you could plug an actual guitar and it's like plugged in like an amp. And that's when I was just became addicted, I think.
That's how you were born.
That's how I was born. Yeah, anything before that feels like a different lifetime.
Yeah.
I don't ever really, like, really I did that.
What was it about it though? Like, I mean, your friend left this guitar with you and whatever. What was it about it that just made you go, I have to do this?
I don't know. I didn't know how to tune the fucking thing. I didn't know how to do anything with it. But I remember I put on, like, listening to, like, oh, I know, I remember, it was, like, it smells like, I was listening to that, and I was trying to tune it, just to, like, hit the notes, you know, and it ended up being a mess. I ended up having to, like, have my friend come back over and tune it, like, and learn how to tune it, but I don't know what it was. It was just, I guess it's like anything, like any kind of drug or something, I was just completely addicted to it, like I couldn't not do it. Like I just, it's still every day. It's the same thing, you know.
You have to go.
I have to do it. I have to do it.
So you guys have big touring plans this summer. What shows and what cities are you most looking forward to?
So the one we have booked right now is the one with Margot, Nikki, so and so's. And well, I've been for like 24 hours, and that's when we were. And RCA flew us out there to do that, just to meet them. We literally got there at 6 at night and left 6 the following night. So it'll be fun because we're going to be 2 days in New York. And the place that we're playing, I heard, in Brooklyn is pretty cool. And I don't remember the name of it. Williamsburg Music Hall or something like that. And they were playing the Mercury Lounge out there the following night. I've never been to Boston. Playing Boston, that's the August 9th, or no, August Yeah, August 9th. And then I've never been to Florida. And I've never been to Atlanta. So those will be fun. Kind of looking, I just like to be on the road, personally. Like, just to be in different spots for the most part, like every night, is pretty interesting. So.
How do you guys all keep it together on the road?
For a while, I remember me and Alicia, we had a tough time because there was still like the leftover being in a relationship thing, where you still just, you'll pick at the person. Like, there's certain things that we won't do with the rest of the members because, or they won't do to us because we've never gone there before, like never actually gotten in that kind of nasty fight. We were in a relationship, we got in, you know, in fights, and so if something would go wrong with anything, she'd pick on me about it, or I might do the same back. But now it's all good, you know, like we everything's perfect. So I don't know.
Listen to music.
Well,
and
it's good because we retired our van after this last trip. She's not that old. She's like 8 years old, but it's just, there's no more out of state traveling there. So the good thing is they're supplying. So we try to put in like a contract before, like, we'll van in the trailer. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And so, fuck, that sucks. But they said they'd rent the vehicle whenever we need it. You know, they pay for that as in your tour support. So, they rented us a van, and it's like on the Bandigo or something. That's what the service is. Those Dodge Sprinters, have you seen those?
Mm-hmm.
And it's got like, it's got its own cargo area for all your equipment. That's separated from everything, so you don't need to take a trailer. You can stand up in these fucking things, and has like Xbox and like all these wireless things and like reading lights on every seat. And they sent us, they're like, is this one cool? And like, I'm sure it's going to be so much better, and it's good, because, I mean, we were in this van, like, you know, packed in, you know, but the first tour, we didn't take a trailer. Our equipment was just packed in, and, like, we would have gotten in an accident, or if we had a break even, any, like, quickly at all, anybody in the back was going to get decapitated, you know, because these instruments would just come flying forward. So it's nice that we're about that anymore.
Good.
Yeah.
So, what are the greatest influences on the band?
I think everybody's kind of got their own... I don't know if I can necessarily speak for everybody, because I don't know exactly if I'd get it right, but Radiohead fans... do you mean musically?
It could
or
be
just
anything.
Like anything.
Musically,
yeah,
what?
Just
I mean,
influence?
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of think we're all influenced by each other in a weird way. Like, we all... are very different but very similar. Like, there's this common thread that runs like completely through everybody. So like, I kind of get inspiration off the other people are doing, or I don't know, for me personally, like certain things that happen, like I guess in my life, inspire me to do like to write certain songs or to do certain things, or like, you know, Mike might send me something or do something, or something might happen and it inspires, I don't know. Maybe we all inspire each other. We just really love each other.
Well, what do you want people to get out of your music?
You know what? Sometimes I never feel satisfied enough for anybody to get anything out of it. Because I don't know I do at the moment. But afterwards when I listen to it, like, maybe it won't mean the same thing. Or I wonder why I wrote that. But you never take into consideration as the writer that this could be like... for somebody else, this really could mean something. Or like, this might... fit something they're going through at this time. You kind of like write it and there was this time period and then you move on past it, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. But my favorite thing, it's gonna sound cheesy or whatever, like if a band can make me feel like I need to cry, it's the most moving thing to me.
Now you stay. Let's
ever. I hope that one day I'll be able to write a few songs that just completely move. So completely moving.
You want to write songs that'll make people cry.
Yeah, kind of. Like, that's like the most powerful thing to me. Like, if you make people smile, and you can make people like, yada, yada, yada. But to like, put people in a state that it's not necessarily a bad cry. It's like, just wonderful thing, but that's like huge. You know? Like, and that, there's like barely, there's a few bands that sometimes can do that. People can enjoy it or whatever, you know, and if they do, they do. If they don't, they don't, but...
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
if you could choose your dream show with any three bands playing, what three bands would that be?
Oh, I would have definitely Radiohead and Sigur Rós would be on there. And then I'd take all the members from that band, from both of those bands, like including like all Sigur Rós's horn sections and all that stuff. And then I'd have John Lennon and George Harrison brought back to life. And then they play, and all the horns and all the rest of the people from all the other bands would back them all up, and they play like they stopped touring, like they played stuff off Rubber Soul on tour, but I don't think they ever played anything off Revolver. Everything from Revolver till the end, like slide completely how it is on the record contributing. And like Elliot Smith would be back, and he'd be
You've
up there.
You've thought about this before?
No, I just was thinking about those are like my three, you know, things.
So a Sigur Rós. Beatles hybrid
with like Radiohead and Sigur Rós and everybody like all as part of it.
So that's your ultimate show.
I wouldn't even want to play. I would just want to just sit there and watch.
Yeah.
I would never.
No, that's
wanna,
good.
Yeah. I was always a fan of like music. My dad was like a big huge Beatles fan. And I remember being in the car with him when I was like that must have been like fifth grade. And listen to him and I couldn't understand how anybody could differentiate between their voices at that age. I was like, how can you tell who's who? They're like, is that Paul, or is that John, or is that George, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I think the anthologies came out when I was around sixth grade, I want to say. They came out on CDs. I remember that's, like, we had listened to some stuff in the car ride because we were driving to Las Vegas to watch my sister do some cheerleading competition when she was like a little girl. And so I when we went into the warehouse because they still had those then, I don't think they have them anymore, that was for sale, and so I asked them to buy that for me. We did have a CD player at the time. I still was using tapes, and I think the next thing I bought was probably like the Blue Album, Weezer Blue Album, like on a tape, and I was like 7th grade or something, you know.
Right.
But
well, so Beatles were the first one.
Yeah.
So of all the songs that you've written with and for Audrey Sessions,
mm-hmm.
which song are you most...
There's no way I could answer it.
No way you could answer
it. Because I mean, you know, I have stuff on my iTunes that I've written like in the last week that I'm more proud of, I feel like, than some of the stuff on there. But then the following week, I'm going to be prouder of something else.
Right.
And it's always going to change. And then I'm going to go back and look at it and be like, it was all...
Right.
But even, like, on my iTunes. Like, my iTunes has, like, I was telling you, like, 200 songs that I've written through. And, like, 175 of those songs, I'll probably go back and listen and just be like, what was I thinking? Like, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? It's just like, I'll just get, like, something in my head. Even if it's in the car and just go home real quick and record it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm proud of everything we've done because it was obviously it meant something at the time or whatever. But there's nothing that I'm prouder than any other really. I don't think so.
Okay. If we were to go through your iTunes, your record collect, what one CD from one artist do you have that you love, but you'd be very embarrassed to let your friends know that you own it?
God, that's a great question.
Like your guilty pleasure.
Yeah, a guilty pleasure. Oh, God, easy. No, right now. Fucking Boys to Men. Jesus Christ. Me and Joe, God, we will destroy. Didn't you hear us trying to do like... Was singing,
I heard some harmonizing.
We were trying to
harmonize.
We were trying to do how do I say goodbye to yesterday?
Did you hear that, everyone? Boys to men.
That's good. Hey. 3 years ago?
You paid for tickets.
No.
You not only
no,
owned
no,
a CD,
no, no, no.
but you
we
paid for tickets.
We didn't pay for tickets. We had this mutual friend, and it was in San Jose. There used to be this place called, you know how they have Chuck E. Cheese? It's called Bullwinkle's. Well, they got taken out, and it became this place called, like, the Avalon. And it's a really small place. And this girl that we knew, her aunt married the guy that... So she invited us, and me and Joe, well, Joe, because he's taller, he almost caught one of, they were throwing out roses during Mama, you know? They threw out roses, and Joe almost got it. And then we got to go backstage and meet them, and we were, like, eating their food, and they took pictures with them. It was really funny, because it was dark back there, and she didn't have the flash on, and he made, like, a comment, like, you better turn on that flash, otherwise we're not going to show up in the picture, it's just going to be, like, us,
right.
It was so dark. But, no, it was great, they were great. But they didn't have the deep voice guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently he's got, like, a bad case of scoliosis or something, so he can't, he doesn't tour or travel with the group. So it's just the three of them.
That's funny. So what music are you listening to right now that you would recommend to your fans or to Pirate Pods listeners?
You get, you probably know that. Like, I've been on that, on, like, the Sigur Rós kick for the last, like, 3 months. Like, it's literally all I listen to.
Right.
I'm upset. Like, and I just bought the new album, and... It's different. It's like, minus the two long 9-minute tracks, they're all 3-minute, 30-second pop songs, just saying Icelandic, you know, but, I don't know what the fuck he's saying, but however he's saying it, it's completely moving to me, so, yeah, I guess that's all I'm listening to right now, so I have to say that I'm listening to it right now, so.
Okay. And our final question,
yeah.
Where do you see Audrey Sessions from 10 years from now?
Oh, God, 38, Jesus, and James will be 34.
I'm sure they're happy that you just gave away all their ages.
Yeah. So that's what we'll be 10 years from now.
That's where you'll be.
Yeah. So.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to say to anyone out there?
Mm. Thanks if you listened this far, I guess. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Ryan.
Yeah. Thank you.
This has been another Pirate Pods interview. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.
I've been to places that are still making my experience.